But you see, if you do that, then you are stuck for terminology once you go past that point. And it's a minor thing. Oh, but we got into levels and orbs and realms and the totality. Laughs, Robert has channeled an incredible variety of beings. Not being a scientist, I do not know much about that. UFO imprint symbol, a model for community living and creation, tell me about your life. Do you have nuclear families? Do you live communally? How do you live? What is a nuclear family? Oh, like a man, a woman and children, maybe some grandparents. We do not live quite like that, but that tends to be more of a strong sense of community. I will draw for you something I think your friend Robert might have given you once. Draws, this is the shape of a town. I'm just going to write a C in the center, meaning like a common area. If you check on your planet, you will find that some cultures on your planet now recognize this as a symbol that has to do largely with contact between my culture and your cultures. Ah. Not that they were colonies or civilizations started by you. We would not try to be that controlling. Still drawing as he talks, know that this is intended to be circular, I just do not have a device to make it perfectly so. I'll have to do the best I can freehand. I'm drawing the shape of the community, a typical community in terms of the way the dwellings and the communal buildings and so on are laid out. It would go out in rows like that. This would be a communal area, this would be like wide expanses people could walk on, and it would go all the way out to here. I'm going to put a dotted line here. It's not quite right, even when you fix it, it won't be quite right, but it gives you an idea. That's the way our towns are laid out. Those lines that come out in a circular pattern or in an R pattern represent dwelling structures. Low level? High level. Low. And it is also a symbol that we feel good about. So these are spaced so far apart in green areas? That's right. They are spaced well apart, and cultures would come together in the common area. It is not laid out for vehicles to travel, those aren't roads for vehicles in between. They would just be open green areas, natural areas, let's say, where people can move about freely or experience the climate and the agriculture of the area. And they are sometimes used for food purposes. Not the entire pattern, but part of the pattern is also something that we use on the bottoms of our ships sometimes, so that when we land on your planet, which we've done, we tend to leave a pattern like that. This particular being, the professor, has had the opportunity to see the imprint of one of our ships, as has Robert in Brazil. Robert Shapiro saw a shape like that on the ground in Brazil after a UFO sighting, that is, I believe, how the symbol worked its way into some of your more ancient cultures. This is a pattern that we consider a model for community living. And it is also a pattern that can be used as a model for the creation of all things, all beings, all places. In short, it is not exactly relating directly to this, but it's close as a symbolic model representation of how we perceive creation. So it is an important symbol to us. Yes, I can feel that. _ Next headline. The Andromedan community and way of life. How many people live there, then? Let's say that was your community. Say, an average community. You might have anywhere from 40,000 to 50,000 individuals there at any given time, but they are not always residents. Obviously, some are visiting, coming and going and so on. But at any given time, you might have 40,000 to 50,000. We do not believe in having too many more individuals in a given community, because it creates an unnecessary crowding situation. And to get from one of those to another, do you have personal air, vehicles or something? How do you move from one to the other? We don't really find it necessary to move from one to the other, but if you need to, then some kind of off-the-surface transportation is readily available. And let's say you live there and you have to go to work. How do you get there? Everything takes place in that community. There is no separation between your environmental creation, which would be what you call work, and where you live. Yes, but in your case, you have to go catch a spacecraft, like when you come to Earth. I mean, that's not parked there, is it? I don't think of it as catching a spacecraft. But I appreciate your little joke. It is outside to the degree that such facilities exist in a concentrated area, which is not very often the case. Then they would be underground but outside the boundaries of the community. Underground. Underground, so that the community is not distracted by comings and goings. We try to leave the surface of the planet, or any planet we occupy, as free of such industrial apparatus as possible. It is one thing to have homes and environmental communities like this that support and sustain life, but entirely another thing to have such industrial types of things, an airport, as you say, though it is not the same thing, or even an aerodrome, which is not the same thing either, on the surface. We don't have that on the surface, we have them underground in places that the planet has indicated to our sensitive people are acceptable places for such a facility. I see. And so all of what we could call manufacturing and all the industrial areas are underground? Yes. We don't have much need for manufacturing, but to the extent that we might have something like that, that would all be underground, yes. Our society is quite different from yours. So you live in a more natural manner and closer to the planet, you create your own clothes, grow your own food. Like that? No, you can't jump to conclusions. You'll have to ask that one question at a time, I think. I'll do the best one can. If I can't do all of this, then you can ask some of these questions to other crew members who may have different methods of communication, plus also different means to communicate. Go ahead. Do you have a mate? Do you have children?
I have a mate, yes. We've been together for a long time. We have a child. We tried to not have too many children, so that the population remains somewhat fixed. Some families have two children, some have one. We have one. And that way the population can be maintained. It works well. We're comfortable with that. There is no concern about a child losing life. You have a child, that's it. The child stays alive for his or her lifetime. Whereas on your planet, you might have more than one, because that's not a guarantee. When you say an Andromedan, there are many, many, many planets. There must be much variety among you. Different planets, different things, different expressions, sometimes different appearances, yes, wide. Wide variety. For example, there are people on the ship that contacted the professor who didn't all look alike. Leah looked one way, and I looked another. Is Leah typical of the women in Andromeda, or was she an unusual beauty? She's not typical, but I don't care for that word, because it rules out individuality. But in appearance, there are many people who look like her and many who look other ways. She is not unique, yes. Overlooking her specific personality features. Yes. So many people might want to visit Andromeda. Laughs, we're going to come and see you, aren't we? When we get some vehicles. At some point, we're trying to help you to get there, but as I say, that information hasn't been getting out to those who need it. That's why there have been these attempts to make contacts in the commercial world. Because the contacts to the governmental world have not generated the dissemination of information that was desired. Yes, the information fails into a governmental black hole. Is it fair to say that your interests are mostly mental and technological and scientific? We've always been told that Andromedans are very mental beings. No, I wouldn't characterize us that way. For one thing, I have a lot of cultural interest. It is my job to liaison between the scientific and the cultural communities. So I wouldn't characterize our civilization that way. It's true that we have a lot of focus in the mental aspect, but we have other things we do. Such as? You have to ask. It's too much, it's too vast. One wouldn't know where to begin. Understand. Well, I was just trying to get a little bit of a sense of how you live and who you think. What are your greatest joys when you're home? What is it that gives you joy in your home?
My family.
And beyond that?
My community.
Would you say if you live in a particular dimension? We don't think of it that way, but it would be useful, I understand, for you to access that. So the simplest way to say our expression of what you would classify as dimension ranges between 7 and 9. But we can access, in traveling, your dimension. I've always said that what we call the shamanic way of life here is the way people live on other planets. Do you basically live that way? There's a lot of truth to that statement, though you have to decide which shamanic practice you're talking about. But when it comes to being personally connected to the planet, the people, all creatures and harmonious interactions between all beings, yes. And that's why you don't have much industrial manufacturing, because you don't need it. We don't really need it. On your planet, if a snowstorm moved in, you would need to be inside, out of the cold, or have something you could wear in the cold. On our planet, we don't have snowstorms, but there is a place on the planet, where there aren't communities, where there is snow. We can go and visit there, but we do not experience it as uncomfortably cold. It is, how would you say? Warm snow. Laughs, warm snow. But within this community, you have enclosed residences for families, right? Not that enclosed. There is not such a degree of urgency to be private. That is because there is no threat. A lot of your desire to be private on your planet is because of the feeling of threat. It would be an enclosed dwelling, but there might be one wall. Have you seen homes on your planet that have large sliding doors out into a yard? Oh, absolutely, yes. And sometimes in some warm places, not even walls at all, maybe some shutters. Yes, like a cabana or something. Our homes are more like that. They have structure and form and utility and purpose and use, but they are not fortresses. Okay. Let's let you go, and we can talk to someone else tomorrow. Thank you. Thank you. Next headline. G. Danza, Leah's daughter. August 4, 2001. My name is G. Danza. Let me give you a spelling, G, then maybe a hyphen, D-A-N-S-A. That would do. G. Danza, welcome. I was on the vehicle when the professor was there. I've come through to talk to you today because I believe I may have a unique perspective. Oh. Are you one of the scientists? No. My perspective was that of an observer. When I was on the ship, I was a child of one of the other crew people. It's not unusual for our people to occasionally travel with family members. So one of the things that I did more than the others, I think, is that I watched things, not unlike on your planet where children see things, sometimes surprising parents. You saw that? Laughs, like that. I saw things, but on our planet, in our culture, when we see things we don't understand, it's different than your culture. We always ask somebody, why? What does it mean? Why did that happen? And so on. I'd have done great on that planet. Laughs. Yes, I think there might be a family connection. A direct connection to Andromedan culture and teachers. Now, what I would do if the adults couldn't talk to me, which happened sometimes, then I have this machine. I'm going to call it, but it's not like your computers. It's like a flat surface, a dark color, and then sloping. It just looks like this, drawers. I'm showing it from the side. It is a counter, a fixed countertop, so when you sit in front of it, it's just like a. Maybe on your planet, you'd say, well, this is where I put my plate to eat dinner. Chuckles, and this type of thing, though it looks a little different, is almost exactly what they have on Zeta Reticuli ships, too. But on the Zeta Reticuli ships, they put their hands on the counter, sometimes just one hand, and then they get the information they need or they transfer the information, from point to point. For us, or for me, it is different. The technology is similar in that it just looks like something. For you, you'd say, let me put my lamp here. Chuckles. But what I do? I don't have to make that same contact like the Zeta person might do, but I might sit in front of it and say, now, what does that mean? So when I have questions, I always have a place to go, and the thing that I talk to, when I think that question, I don't have to touch it, I just sit right in front of it, and when I think that, not my thought, but the feeling of my curiosity and the definition of my thought. That's it, the definition of my thought. The answer comes through. It's not printed on a screen or anything, but I get the answer back in this way. I get words I can understand that explain it to me. They come in my mind. Also, I'm too young to know for sure, but it either broadcasts the feeling that reassures my curiosity, or if I'm upset, if I see something, it will reassure me, and it also explains things. How this works is that this is connected to all the information we have as a culture, plus it's a direct connection. Should that information not be sufficient, to one or more of our culture's teachers. So it has a spiritual connection as well. I can usually tell when it's coming from one of our teachers, because when it's coming from our culture, it's more like going to a library, this is what it means, and it's gentle and kind. But when it's coming from a spiritual teacher, it's so loving and nurturing, the feelings, of course. Some of the other kids I know, I'm going to use your terms because I like them, will sometimes try to think up questions they can ask, but they know our culture can't answer, so they can connect with the teachers. Laughs. That's kind of funny. Anyway, sometimes I couldn't peek around and see, but there are ways. They have, like, screens, and you can see things in the other parts of the ship. Next headline. Dimensional differences on ET craft. This is kind of baffling to people who come on these ships, but the ship is always bigger on the inside than it seems. We've heard that before, yes, and that's because of the difference in dimension. You will see it in the context of your dimension that you live in, we will experience it in the context of our dimension. So if our dimension is more expanded, we experience all these parts of the ship. If your dimension isn't, you can walk around and feel a little confined. Or when you get confused. You come on the ship, this has happened, I think, to other people, and it looks small, and you get in it and it seems to be large and the energy is disorienting, because you're then experiencing our dimension while you're in your dimension. That's why people get confused, and sometimes in the past, I've heard that with some contactees, they don't fully recover from that exposure to those dimensions. That hasn't happened with our contacts, but it did happen, I think, a couple of times when people went aboard ships that landed, not because they wanted to, you know, where some trouble was generated and the ship crashed on your planet. We've heard about these things, too, and the people inside the ship couldn't stop everything in time so that when it crashed, things were still on. And sometimes people climbed on beard, and then they were. Some of them didn't recover from that. So that's why I think your people have gotten more cautious with some contacts or felt maybe that some people from other places represented a threat. I don't think any threat was intended, but I don't know everything about it, either. Laughs, maybe they don't tell me everything. Next headline. Listening to the professor. So to get to the point, when I saw the professor, I like calling him the professor because he always had all these questions, and a lot of times I could either understand the question, or go to my resource and ask one of the other adults. A lot of times the questions were very complicated, and other times the questions were just, I could understand, like people always ask, you know, what's life like on your planet? What do you eat? Do you sleep? Things like that. So that's always fun for me, to hear how my relatives or the other people answer, because they don't always say everything, they say what they think the person will feel comfortable with. You don't want to tell a person so much that he or she gets confused. So that's my first recollection of the professor, how curious he was and how many questions he asked. And I also noticed how he felt a special friendship with Leah. Leah was my mom. Oh, how wonderful. Yes. You say mom. I like that. So that's, I think, why it was okay for me to look in sometimes, not for everything, but sometimes. And then Mom would talk to me later if I had questions and say some things and not others. That was okay, you know. It's the same on my world. Parents don't tell children everything. And it works the other way on my world, too. Children don't always tell their parents everything. But I think they can find out a lot easier than on your planet. Laughs, we can't keep secrets as well. How old are you now, in our terms? In your terms, I am about 8 years old. But 30 years ago, how old were you? I'm equating this to your terms. In my years, of course, I've been around, okay? On our world, I've been living a lot longer than that. But in terms of how long you live, because we live a lot longer than you do, I'm trying to. So 8 years old also relates somewhat to my personality level, although an 8 year old, you say, like this, an 8 year old on your planet wouldn't have all of the information and cultural exposure that our kids have. Next headline. Building from the center, Andromedan communities. Was your father on the ship? Number he didn't travel. It's not normal for whole families to travel. It's not even typical for children to be along. And there are other children in the family, so father. For us, it's not a singular father. It's like two fathers who had to stay home and look after the rest of what they do and the rest of the family. One mother? Two mothers? One mother and one kind of something like a mother, and two fathers. It's kind of like what you call an extended family, kind of like that. But not exactly. Our families are very close, our society and our culture really believe in everybody being well acquainted with others so that. Well, say I was in another part of the city when I'm home, that any adult could be my parent. You have some of that, I think, in your world, it's like that there, too. So not only can any adult be my parent, but if adults don't have children and might want one, a child could be their child for a while. It's very close and very loving, and we're taught in what we learn that this is the reason our cities grow outward. A city starts from the center. In the very central part of the city, there is, like, a park, and then there is either. Some cities are different, some have a building in the center, and some have an open space. But it starts with the community culture feeling, and it grows out from the center. It doesn't grow for convenience, it grows literally from the center out. Nothing is built until people who are completely compatible with the center. What happened, what was decided as, this is our community, this is who we are, this is what we want to do, they have to be compatible with that, not just okay with it, you might say. They have to embrace it in that way, openly and with their hearts, because they want to. This is what they want to do, too. We heard about your city, and we'd like to be here. Like that. Then everybody in the city can embrace them, too. So cities will grow out from the center, based on something like that. Yesterday, Chezwa gave us a drawing of the community. Yes. It kind of looks like that, with sort of like pieces of pie, but it's all kind of circles. It grows out like that, but only so far. If it looks like it's getting to be too big, then someone will start another one somewhere else, and then it will grow out from there. Then you get different cities with different specific attractions, experiences. Maybe one is focused on art, and maybe another on thought, something like that, and then lots of different things that you can understand and experience, and then other things that are just for us. There is a city I know of that doesn't have anything to do with our culture at all. But it's entirely dedicated to studying the cultures of other planets. And everybody who lives there is dedicated and enthusiastic and excited about that, so if you ever want to talk about something with somebody else, you don't have to go very far. Oh, wonderful. What is your community dedicated to? It's dedicated to the physical experience of communicating with all beings. That's why my mother, when she goes on these trips, is always the person who is the communicator or the liaison between our people and whoever isn't normally exposed to our people, because she has studied a lot and has a lot of information on how to present us in the most inoffensive way. Although we don't always manage to do that, We tried to present ourselves in a way that won't insult other people. You have cultures on your planet, you know what I mean, maybe. I am studying to become what she is doing, but it will take a long time yet. Next headline. An extended childhood. Leah said she was 900 years old in our time, so you're probably 100 or a couple hundred years old or something? Well, something like that. So there's a much more extended childhood than here. Yes. You know, you have something we don't have at all. No one ever said, hurry up. In our culture. So you don't have to hurry up and get over your childhood. You have lots of time. And you gradually expand from your childhood, become more, you never fully leave it. No part of you is ever abandoned, left somewhere. Oh, how beautiful. You just grow out from that childhood, and you become more by developing interests that lead you to desires, like I have, to do a job like my mother does, and someday I'll be able to do that. And that is, as I've been taught, a healthy way to allow children to grow up. Because there is. No one says, okay, 85 years old now, time to go to work, but that's in our years. That's wonderful. Next headline. The professor on our ship. Did the professor know you were Leah's child? I don't think so. I don't think he even knew I was a child. But we didn't have any contact personally. What did he look like? Well, it's hard for me to say, he's an Earth person. Was he short? Tall? I've seen the skin colors of all your people. It wasn't as dark as some people, and I think he may not have had all his hair. I'm not sure how much hair you normally have. I think the top was covered all the way. And I can't remember what he wore. What was your feeling about him? My feeling is that I would have liked to have met his children, if he had any, because he was so open to learning that I hoped his children were like that, too. I've heard about other people on Earth who aren't like that, but he was like that. And when someone is like that, it makes communication so much easier. So I felt like maybe in some other circumstance, we could be friends. How many times did you see him on the ship? I saw him 3 times. Did they take him somewhere and do something on those trips? Once. This is what I think is the regular thing when they have someone on board who isn't used to that kind of life. They'll usually fly around somewhere to show them the beauties that they don't normally get to see. From space, yes. I remember going out past the planet's usual atmosphere, and then they situated the ship so he could look back and see it from a distance. I don't know if he remembers those things. My mom told me that he doesn't remember all the things he used to. But they showed him that, and he was particularly interested in the contrast between the colors. He had seen pictures taken from space, but it's completely different to see it yourself. Because for one thing, you know it's not a picture, chuckles, and for another thing, there's a sense of, that's my home, my place of being, while at the same time, and this is how he was so unusual, he felt at home on the ship. The professor felt, the ship is my home, my friends, my people, and so he felt safe and secure on the ship most of the time, and yet when he'd look back toward Earth, he'd also, it's like a man with 2 homes. It wasn't that he was wanting to abandon his family, it's that he wanted to go where we were from, to be educated there and to learn things there, and then he wanted to come back to Earth as long as he could still see us. I didn't, but Mom and 2 of the scientists had to explain to him that this was only for a short time, these contacts. He kept asking to go with us, and I'm not sure what they said. I think they said they'd think about it or they'd see if that was possible or something like that. Did you see him at widely spaced times, or all within a year or so? No, it was all within kind of a short time. It wasn't a long time, because it was all on one trip, and we don't go away for that long in terms of your years. We wouldn't be away for more than maybe a year and a half of our time. But that's different in your time. Because the ship can travel in time. We can go to different times. So I'm not really sure over what time. That's okay. Next headline. Using the protective device to travel to other planets. So when was the last time you were on this planet? I think that the last time I was able to set foot on your planet was sometime between your years 1990 and 1991, that was the last time. They didn't always allow us to leave the ship,